Good morning. Our scripture comes from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," he said. "Here I am, my son," he said. "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. Now when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his own young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. This is an amazing story in the life of Abraham. We know that in the life of Abraham, God had appeared to him seven times. And this story is the seventh of the seven times where God appears. And this is a great test that Abraham is put through. When you think about it, Abraham had very little to go by on the nature and character of God. The law of Moses had not yet been given. And he didn't really know and understand completely that God was against child sacrifice. But he trusted God, and he knew that Isaac was a child whom God would bring to pass the promise that he would be the father of many nations. You can read about that just a few chapters earlier. And so Abraham somehow knew that God was going to provide. He didn't know how. He was sort of in a rock, in between, as the saying goes, a rock and a hard place. Sometimes in life we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, and we ask ourselves, how did I get in this situation, and where are you, Lord? And in that time, we don't have much of a choice but to just have faith and trust. We don't know for sure how God's going to work things out. Have you ever been in that situation where you don't know for sure how God's going to work things out, but you have one thing going for you, and that is your faith and your trust? I love to read the Hall of Faith, as the scripture is referred to. It's Hebrews chapter 11, and I will just read to you what the Hall of Faith says about Abraham. Hebrews 11, 17 through 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." And he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And on it goes, because we know that from this passage, Isaac was spared. And we know that the angel of the Lord spoke from heaven and stopped Isaac from being sacrificed, stopped Abraham from plunging the knife into Isaac. What a relief that must have been to both of them. You know, many scholars believe Isaac was old enough that he was willingly laying his life down on that altar. There's so many parallels between this story and Christ. Many say, and it's very true, that this story is true in and of itself, but it's also a foreshadowing of the coming of Christ and how God the Father sent his Son, his only Son, to be a sacrifice for us, a substitute for us, a substitute sacrifice. And we see here not only this beautiful picture of Christ, but the practical wisdom and insight of how to trust God in life's most difficult situations. Now, we know that Abraham had another son. His other son was Ishmael. And Ishmael was the son of Hagar, who was a concubine of Sarah. See, when God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child, Sarah laughed. She didn't really think that it could happen because she was too old. So, as they did in those Old Testament times, if they wanted a son but couldn't have children themselves, they would offer their handmaiden and children would be born that way. But it just wasn't the same as having your own child. And Sarah got jealous, and one thing led to another, and Hagar and Ishmael got sent out into the desert. But we know God took care of them. It tells us he did. He sent an angel to care for them. But this son, this only son, is the one that God provided to fulfill the promise that he was making to Abraham and Sarah. See, God is not like people. God never breaks a promise. And he promises to never leave us or forsake us. I will say that sometimes in life, we all feel kind of forgotten by God. But notice how this passage doesn't talk about feelings. I wonder if that's on purpose. I'm sure that Abraham had a lot of feelings. But this was not about feelings. It was about obedience. And sometimes if you go by feelings, you justify disobedience. Sometimes you say, well, if God's forgotten me, then why should I live by faith any longer? Why should I trust God? There are people who just hang it up, throw in the towel. They don't want to follow God anymore. They don't want to believe anymore because of their feelings. Feelings can be clues to what's really going on and to our interests, but feelings can also send our lives on rabbit trails. Be careful that you don't live your life based on your feelings. I heard a person who was heavily involved with AA meetings tell me one time that they have a saying, when you're alone with your thoughts, you're in a bad neighborhood. I think that's because when you're alone with your thoughts, you can be overcome with feelings. Feelings, like I said, aren't the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life is that you drive your ship the way it needs to be driven, and you make your decisions, and that you have the compassion of God and the love of God, which is above personal feelings, be your guiding star. I think a lot of times when we lose sight of God's love for us, we quit being filled with God's love for others. It's just like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has this beautiful body of water, a great river called the Jordan River flowing into it, but nothing flows out of it. And so it's dead. Even though it's got water flowing into it, it has no outlet. And that's what it's like for us if we let God's love become stifled. God's love never goes away. It's still going into us. It's still there. But we no longer allow it to have its way in our life. And we don't let it have an outlet to others. And we quit being about others. To stay in God's will and in God's plan, you have to guard your heart. Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is the center of your being. And you say, well, isn't love from God a feeling? It can be. But sometimes love is action. without feelings. I've interviewed people who have wonderful marriages. And I've asked them, what's the secret to a happy marriage? And I've heard from many of them that one of the main secrets of a happy marriage is you don't stay mad after you've had a fight. You make up and you move on. And sometimes they just have to do that by choice, regardless of how they feel. It's not any different in our relationship with God. God is asking us to never doubt God's love for us. To never doubt that God is with us always. Now that's quite a task at times. But he says he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. That's in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28. So Abraham knew that God had made this promise. And he knew, according to Hebrews 11, that if God allowed him to kill Isaac, God could raise Isaac back to life. And we know that that's actually what happened with Jesus. When Jesus was nailed to the cross for our sins, he became sin for us. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And on the third day of that trek they made up that mountain, Isaac laid on that pile of wood, and God stopped him from being sacrificed, and he rose from the dead, rose up from about to be dead. And this is a beautiful foreshadowing of what Jesus did for us. I want to point out in verse 7, Isaac says to his father, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where's the lamb? That's the question that really continued to be asked until John the Baptist sees Jesus walking by and says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. See, there's the lamb. Isn't that interesting how in Genesis 22, verse 7, we have this question, where's the lamb? And in the Gospels, we have John the Baptist saying, behold the lamb. What a great tie-in that this foreshadowing of Christ gives us to Christ and who Christ is for each one of us. And verse 8 is very beautiful too, just right after verse 7 where Isaac says, where's the lamb? Abraham says, God will provide this. God will provide the lamb. And the two of them, father and son, continue up that mountain. And you know that mountain, Mount Moriah, is the same mountain that Jesus died on the cross. And his father went with him on that trek up that mountain. I love the story of how Jesus went to Golgotha. And I love how the Lord helped him carry that cross through a man named Simon of Cyrene. I believe when Simon of Cyrene was helping Jesus carry the cross, God the Father was giving Simon of Cyrene the strength to do that. God the Father walked every step of the way with Jesus up that mountain. Our Heavenly Father walks with us every step of the way in this life. And when Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac, we're told that an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. And Abraham said, "Here I am." And the angel of the Lord said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son." You know, sometimes in life, I think God allows us to go through testing of our faith. And I don't think it's really because God doesn't know what we would do, but maybe we don't know. Maybe we need to learn something about ourselves. Whether it's good news or bad news, we need to know about the strength of our faith sometimes. But we're told in verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. We know that when Christ died for us on the cross, the Lord provided for each one of us the way of reconciliation, the way of forgiveness, the way of starting fresh with God's grace in this life. It's something we should never trade for anything. It's priceless to have God's grace and God's help. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. The Lord did provide. And we're told the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time, and he rehearsed again the promise of the Lord and what the Lord would do through Isaac. You know, it's good to look back and see how the Lord's been your provider, your Jehovah Jireh. He really has. Everyone should keep a journal. We don't, but we should. Of our prayer requests and of our answers. And sometimes the answer comes in a way that we didn't predict or expect or even pray would happen that way, but it comes in a better way. And we see how he does walk with us. He does provide. In the Old Testament, they often would put up a pile of rocks and they would make that a memorial. So every time they would pass by, they would remember what God had done. The prophet Samuel did that when God helped him defeat the Philistines. And he put up a stone, they called it the Ebenezer Stone, which means God helps us. And they said this phrase, "Thus far has the Lord brought us." You know, life is full of, "Thus far has the Lord brought me. Thus far has the Lord brought you." Look back on your life and you can see where God has brought you. You may have some anxiety today. You may be facing some hard times. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage me to trust the Lord, to look to the Lord as your provider. Do what you can do, but receive his peace. And trust God with the outcome, because God cares for you. We're told in Philippians chapter 4 that we should cast all our anxieties on him, for he careth for us. King James says careth. He cares for us. Let your needs be known with prayer and supplication. And then just trust the Lord, because he's got your back. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your provider. Amen.